Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
I'm April Arnold from Columbia, Maryland, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 183 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and actually this is part two of our visit with Jennifer Teague von Hoffman of Those Darn Cats podcast, and we are talking with Jennifer about her upcoming first Run Disney event, and we talk a little bit about some things that you may find interesting, a little bit of something that I came across at the Wine and Dine Half Marathon last year. Jennifer talks about a very famous dinner we all had at Le Cellier, and at the end, well, I'm not too proud of it, but you'll hear how I kind of mispronounce some very famous, well, you'll just have to listen. So we'll pick it up now with Michelle, myself, and Jennifer Teague von Hoffman continuing our discussion.
Mike, I wanted to know if you could tell Jennifer what happened when you were running the half and you thought you saw Spaceship Earth.
Oh, that was the Wine and Dine, I believe.
Was it? I don't remember. It was just very funny.
So there are maybe one, two, or three different half marathon courses in Walt Disney World. And when you run during the day, it's very easy to get your orientation. But when you run at night, sometimes you're not really sure where you are, especially if you start somewhere and you're going down a road that you're not that familiar with, even though you may have driven down that road at night. So I believe it was last year. It was the Wine and Dine. So we're running the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and I thought, coming up on the left-hand side, I thought I was looking at Spaceship Earth, and I'm thinking, how can this happen? What they had is they had a large hot air balloon that was in the shape of Spaceship Earth, and it was a pleasant surprise, and it said to me, this is why I run, one of the reasons why I run the Run Disney races, because there are surprises all the time. One year when I ran the Princess, as we approached the, we were running through the Ticket and Transportation Center parking lot, there was a cast member who said, if you like rock and roll, go to the left. If you like country, go to the right. And so they divided the runners into two lanes, and whichever lane you went into, you heard that type of music. So there's all kinds of fun things. And like Michelle had said previously, it's gotten to the point where if you're going to spend this money, you really want to experience it and get your money's worth. So we wanted to make sure that you were aware of that.
Yeah, that hot air balloon you know how well Mike knows the parks, and his mouth was on
right.
The floor or on the ground. It was really, really, really exciting.
That does sound cool. I'm curious to hear a little bit about the entertainment. So you said that there will be high school bands, and what other kinds of entertainment are there other than character stops?
Well, we said, there are maybe three or four local high school bands who are playing. Usually you will see them during the first third of the half marathon and marathons. And after that, you will see the entertainment can be in the form of a disc jockey. It can be in the form of cast members on stilts, like you've seen in some of the parades. And of course, there are DJs, and then there are the character stops. And every once in a while, there will be some surprise, like we have seen, as we mentioned, the Spaceship Earth for the Tower of Terror race, there was a large replica of the Nemo submarine.
Mm-hmm.
So
there, yeah. For I think it was Tower of Terror, there was in one of the lagoons, there was a gigantic Tower of Fire that was kind of shooting up, like, you know how in The Wizard of Oz when they go
cool.
see the wizard. That was, you got to run around that twice. There have been some big video screens with Disney cartoons. And in the Tower of Terror, I think they had a mist going over the road and then a laser going over the runners with the Twilight Zone music. One of the races had one of the frozen princesses was up at the top of a bridge and it was snowing. Elsa. It was snowing,
Elsa.
And she was saying, I don't remember what she was saying, but it was really cool.
Here's another, you might call this, Jennifer, you may call this entertainment for the, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of people make sure they do whatever they can to run the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, is that when you enter the rare entry of the Hollywood Studios theme park, you're going through Lights, Motor, Action, Speedway, and you can see yourself on the big screen. But when you leave that particular portion of the studios and you're running through the streets of America, they have the Osborne lights going on. And this is in November. So and it's not crowded. So you get to see, it's night. It's nighttime and it's really late. So the only people who are in the park are the runners. So you really get to see the Osborne lights, and they are in full vent. They're in full motion, and there are Christmas songs going. And I don't know if there was snow, but I could have sworn that there was snow. So that's a little bit of entertainment.
It's almost as cool as an MEI Mouse Fan Travel event.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I'm totally spoiled on the Osborne light. Yeah. Like, I'm used to there being just a few of us, just me and my friends, and people are doing conga lines and maybe waltzing, and you know.
Not quite,
but
that,
actually,
it's really good.
As I think about. As I think about all the different kinds of entertainment, it strikes me that one of the things that'll probably be different in a Run Disney race than the other races I've run, which becomes particularly an issue for me in the longer races, is even though I run with headphones for my regular workouts, in races I don't. And so for a longer run, especially, you know, like with Applefest, it was not only a course that I wasn't as familiar with, but also it was a much, much smaller group. There were something like 600 runners in Applefest last fall. So by the time you get to like mile 7 or 8, you may or may not even have anybody you know around you, or not just anybody you know. You may or may not have any people at all around you. You may just kind of be trucking along. And so having the different things to sort of entertain myself with in my mind is a certain amount of work. And it sounds like that will not be an issue at all.
Not
at
all. No,
run Disney event.
I mean, I do run with music, but I end up turning it off for, I mean, there aren't many spots where you're not entertained. If it's not the entertainment on the course, it's the people running by. A lot of costumes, more costumes than you can ever imagine. Just really, really cool. I think one of the other big things too, Jennifer, you've run two races where there are a lot of fast people, you know, and there were 3,000 people in that race we ran the other day. You're going to find that, I find at local races, I'm among the slowest, but at Run Disney events, I'm in the middle. So I think you're going to find you're among the fastest because you did a great time for your half marathon. So you'll have plenty of time to do everything that you want to do. But
no, thank you.
Because there are a lot of novice runners, a lot of new runners. And I think it's one of the things that makes it so special is that the Run Disney events really lend themselves to being welcoming to people of different ages, different body types, different experience levels.
Well, and I get the impression that I will not feel at all out of place if I'm using walk run intervals.
Oh no, not at all. It's like
whereas
the heaven for walk run intervals.
Yeah, it's I mean, it seems like that's really common, especially since Jeff Galloway you know, does the official plans for different races. And I've been doing run walk for a while, and I'm not sure whether or not that's still going to be what I'm doing in January. But at any rate, when I've been doing that in local races, towards the end of the race, it feels very fine and ordinary. In fact, I am very proud to say it was proud and embarrassed at the same time. It was really a lot of fun running up Heartbreak Hill and passing lots of people who were walking and didn't seem to have planned to walk. So that was fun. But
come join
certainly...
me in Boston next time. See how you feel when you get there.
At the local races, certainly when I take my first walk break, which in my current intervals is like 4 minutes in, when I ran a 10K recently locally and I took my first walk break, someone nearby like asked me if everything was okay. And I thought that was wonderful and kind that a fellow runner was checking on me. But it was like, no, really, it's fine. I was planning to walk now. I wasn't suddenly having an injury 4 minutes into the race. But yeah, so that's kind of cool. One thing with Run Disney I'm a little intimidated by is that with the race being so big, I've heard people complain of congestion and that you spend like a ton of time zigzagging to get around people, whereas I haven't had that issue in any of the races I've run before. So to what degree do you think that's an issue at the Run Disney races?
We've talked about that on shows before about the runner protocol, and it's true. There will be parts of the courses down in Orlando where you're running along like you're running along World Drive, and it's not that much of an issue. But then there are areas similar to when you come out of the backside of the Magic Kingdom.
The backside of water.
Well, yeah, the backside of water. When you come out the Magic Kingdom and you come out what we call Cone Alley, and that goes down towards the Grand Floridian. It's Grand Floridian Way. And that part of the course is only about 7 or 8 feet wide. And sometimes you will see 2, 3, or 4 people running side by side or walking side by side. So it's very, very, it's very, very, how can I put it? It really works on your running discipline. And it's funny that you bring that up about zigzagging, Jennifer, because last week when I did the Heartbreak Hill Half Marathon, I was very proud when I looked at my watch and it said I had run 13.26 miles, which is, to me, that's good, because that meant I just ran an extra 13/100ths of a mile. There have been times in Disney, and that's one of the challenges is trying to keep your mileage down, where I've zigzagged and I've run almost a half a mile longer than I should have. And that works on your time. So you have to be very careful, and it's going to happen a lot. It's very hard to give advice as to what to do. I try to stay at one side. I try to run as straight a line as I can, but sometimes you have to decide if you're going to slow down or you're going to, you know, zip around people. And sometimes what I try to do is I get to the point where, and this is probably good advice, if you are coming up to somebody who is walking really slowly and you have 2 or 3 people or 4 people in front of you, maybe you go into your walk at that point and you walk around them and then you go into your run again. Maybe that's the way to do it. But I wish I could say it won't be congested, but it will be congested almost, I would say, for the half marathon course. It will be congested for the first maybe mile or two, and then it will probably thin out going up to the Magic Kingdom. And then as soon as you get into the thick of the Ticket and Transportation Center, it will be, and that's probably around mile 4, so 4.5, maybe mile 4.5. From mile 4.5 to mile 9, it will be congested. So prepare.
Okay, good to know. So, yeah, I can see where people wouldn't want to be trying to shoot for PRs at Disney races for a variety of reasons, one of which would be the congestion.
It's just so popular, and so we would not be truthful if we said, oh, no, there's no congestion. Jennifer, before we wrap up this podcast, we alluded to some memorable times that we've had together with you. And we would love for you to tell our audience that, I believe it was a MouseFest story.
It took place
in Epcot one evening when we had dinner all together. Could you?
Jennifer is so patient. I put Mike up to this, Jennifer. I'm sorry. I loved it. I was there.
No, it's quite all
right. I'm sitting right next to you, and I love the story.
Well, and Michelle, I think that might have been the first time I met you.
I think so, too.
Was that night at Le Cellier. Like, we had probably been at the same meets, but, like, that was the first time we really had a conversation.
I think you're right.
So it was a bunch of us. The three of us were there, and Len, and Danielle DeCerbo, and Henry Work was there, and was Fred there, I think?
I think Fred Hazelton.
Fred Hazelton?
Yes.
I think that was everybody, although I may have forgotten somebody. So as you two know, we had sat down and ordered our meals and also ordered a variety of beverages. And for whatever reason, from my point of view, I had no idea what was going on.
I actually know the reason this happened. I will give you the backstory, but go ahead.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I am in this deluge of, like, beer and hot chocolate and water and soda and everything, and it's all just pouring down my back, and the whole tray of drinks had just, like, slid into the back of my neck and went from there. Now, what was it that made that happen?
So the reason that happened, I was sitting next to you and I ordered some cold beverage. I don't remember what it was. And out of everybody on the table, you were the only one who ordered a hot beverage. So she had, the server had put my drink down, and she did it sort of, you know, she could just sort of hand it to me, but you had a hot drink. So she had to, with this smaller cup, kind of ease herself in between us and put it on the table and do it more carefully because it was hot. And as she was doing that, it all slid off of her tray onto your back. I was wet too. My leg was wet, but what happened next? Luckily you weren't hurt. They felt terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't hurt. I was surprised and soaking wet, as was my bag, as were, of course, all of my clothes. And the poor server was just mortified. She felt so terrible. And, you know, of course, I did my best to assure her, like, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's okay, you know. But she felt awful. And she like ran off to get the manager or something. I can't remember the sequence of events, but basically they bring me all these clothes to the table. They bring me a pair of Canada shorts. They bring me a Canada shirt. I inquire whether they have any undergarments. They bring me some Moose boxer shorts, which actually were more like PJs than boxer shorts, but, you know, that's fine. They ended up actually giving me I asked if they had a bag because my backpack was soaked too. And we were all going to be going to Port Orleans Riverside after dinner to go to the Yeehaw Bob meet. And they gave me a no strings attached voucher to go get a bag at Mouse Gears. So they just completely outfitted me and you know, of course, got fresh beverages and all. And actually, my favorite part of the story was something that I didn't hear until much, much later, which was Mike Newell didn't know where I was from or whatever. And apparently when I walked into Port Orleans Riverside that evening, he looked over and there I was in all my Canadian garb. And he thought, wow, I didn't know Jennifer was from Canada. And she's so proud of it. She has such pride in her Canadian heritage.
It was almost worth the experience. You were so good. You were so good natured about it too, but it was just quite a scene.
It was.
And to see you afterwards and all, I mean, it was Canada on your shirt. It was Canada down your leg. It was Canada. It was everywhere. Even on your underwear now. Oh boy.
Yeah, it was really something.
You know what I remember about that is that as I saw it, and the server was, she was real tiny. And I was thinking, how can she handle that tray? And I'm watching it and I'm seeing it slowly. slowly tilt, and I'm thinking something's going to happen, but you just, you know, you're about to see something happen, and there was just nothing you could do, and you say, well, and I was just hoping for the best. But,
well, she's probably telling that story too. Yeah, to her.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing about the whole experience for me, and I wrote about this for Studios Central, that I was struck by the fact that Disney took a moment that could have been a real customer relations disaster, and they turned it into a big plus. Because here it is years later, and I'm still telling the story of what a great job the cast members did in taking mm-hmm. care of me when this happened. So, you know, it's just, it's a really a good example of how good guest service is good marketing.
This is true. This is true. And so we want to thank you for coming on Mickey Miles and helping us talk about the differences between Disney and Run Disney. And I'm sure we'll see you sometime in the future in Orlando.
Well, we'd love to have you come back and report on how you thought your first Run Disney event was through new eyes.
Great. I'd love to. Yeah. Thank you.
And she is Jennifer Teague Von Hoffman, and she is one of the co-hosts for These Darn Cats, along with Lisa Ferry Jennings. So we invite you to...
It's Those Darn Cats.
It's Those Darn Cats. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Those Darn Cats.
These Darn Cats.
And if you're into Duke and Bernie, you definitely... Boonie, is that what it's called?
Oh, Dooney and Bourke.
Dooney and Bourke.
Yes. Yes, we talk about their handbags a lot.
I love their cartoon characters.
And for those of you who are listening to this, I could have very well edited this off, but I thought I'd let it go. Those Darn Cats, and it's Jennifer Teague Von Hoffman and Lisa Ferry Jennings. Jennifer, thank you very much for a wonderful podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
So for Jennifer Teague Von Hoffman and for Michelle Scrutin McLean and for... That Bad Company, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.